Kalinowski, Sam Nation here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are live, we are local, and we are on fire, or en fuego, as some of you would say. Really happy to be here tonight, Thursday evening, moving right through all this stuff happening. 800-222-5222 is the phone number if you'd like to be on the program, on Sam Nation. The email, as you know, is sam@samnation.com. Email me. I do check that throughout the show. Usually I just get cute messages from John Wolf, you know, so so mix it up for me today. I well, I'm just saying. See these poll numbers? Creeping upwards. What do you know? I mean, so the media's been telling us now for 2 days what a goober Trump is and how that rally was just a farce, a joke, a self-involved exercise of self-promotion. You saw, hold on, bear with me here. This should have been on my desktop, but it's on the floor. One sec. This, right here, from the bottom of the stack. This is from yesterday. I'm pulling it back up because I didn't share this. Time.com produced the transcript that I ended up using when I was reviewing the Trump speech. You know how they titled it? President Trump ranted for 77 minutes in Phoenix. Here's what he said. I can put it down on the ground again. Right where it belongs, in the trash. So the most interesting thing about Trump's numbers, when you look at it, there's a number of polls out there. I'm using the Gallup numbers. His favorable numbers are up. They're now 38%. I have some polls as high as 42%, but they're not broken down into favorable, unfavorable. And I want to use the polls that show those two numbers because there's something very interesting afoot, which is that Trump's unfavorable numbers have actually decreased by 5% since the week he was elected president. Think about that. Again, it's one of those little things that the media will never focus on. They'll never, because they're full court press right now telling us how far out there in Nazi land Trump is. In fact, I'll give you just, they're sticking to their guns on this Nazi themology to the point where I think it really risks of a tremendous, backfire. Wolf Blitzer is one of the my favorite instigators of this type of talk. Now, he'll hide behind different people who will come in and comment. But the media, Anna Navarro, a frequent commentator on Wolf Blitzer and other programs on CNN, who's always put out there as a Republican strategist, you know, and they like that. They like to bring in a Republican, using my air quotes, a Republican to come in and trash Trump. So they've got this Anna Navarro cat who comes in, absolutely brutalizes the president. I think we used her yesterday in the montage with which we opened the program. And she's not much of a Republican. Came out today. Again, if you missed it, last page news, but it was discovered that she was one of the principal architects of Bob Menendez's victory in New Jersey. Bob Menendez, of course, being the now indicted, under criminal indictment for racketeering and campaign fraud, Democrat senator from New Jersey, innocent until proven guilty, of course. But he's a Democrat from New Jersey. I mean, how innocent can he be? Anyway, I'm just saying. But nonetheless, some Republican strategist this lady is. She was the principal architect. And you know, his seat, by the way, cost the Republicans in 2006 their majority. So what kind of this all this is just it's added color to the thesis that CNN is just out there. Here is what. And lacks credibility. Let me add that part. Here is what Representative John Garamendi, of course, Democrat from California, we have all the nutters. Very fortunate about that here in California. John Garamendi was on Wolf Blitzer, and he said this about Trump's vociferous attack on the media. He's coming out defending CNN and defending Wolf Blitzer because, you know, Trump, of course, brutalized the media when he spoke at that rally the other day. On Monday. So here's what Garamendi said on Blitzer. Listen to this.
We saw the real Trump, a man that is totally, totally out of control and engaged in a rhetoric that slams the press, which, by the way, happens to be the very first thing that a dictator will do to secure his position is to delegitimize the press.
Well, so Blitzer, you would think now this type of stuff is just insane. And they're having, it's funny to me because the press now it's so self-involved. The press is putting out media about itself. The press is now the victim, and now they're consumed in this little, you know, back and forth, various guests on the show. And they're the victim. They're getting brutalized by the president, and they're crying and crying and crying. And all of us who have loathed the press for years, I hate to break it to you. I'm sitting over here and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And so you'd think at this point, Blitzer, who thinks of himself as a serious journalist, you'd think that he'd say, okay, now listen, I mean, come on. Nazi Germany, this is the land of gnomes and book burnings. Yeah, we don't. Aren't you maybe taking it a little bit too far? And instead, Blitzer comes back with this.
When you suggest the words that the president is doing what dictators try to do and stifling the news media, just elaborate a second on that. I want you to be precise.
Well, I'll be very precise. If one were to look at Nazi Germany, that was the very early part of their tenure, was to delegitimize the press. They constantly attacked the press. They always were going they and us, them and us, back and forth. And that's exactly what this president is doing.
I'm just going to say this. I don't think they were actually saying they and us, okay? I'm pretty sure that the brown shirts were knocking the crap out of journalists that disagreed with them, and eventually Hitler was rounding them up and putting them in concentration camps. Let's go back to what Trump said. Trump is pissed at the media. He's sitting there in the White House, as he's frequently accused of doing nothing but, in his lazy boy, watching cable news. And he's watching things said about him, and he knows, humor me here for a minute. Let's say that they aren't exactly right, what's being said about him. Hold on with the clip, Robbie. I know you're excited to share this. We got it. Taking it one step at a time. So Trump, he's sitting there in the Oval Office or wherever watching TV, and he hears something that he does. He knows it's not true because he just finished working on something or saying something, and he knows these things aren't true. So he's pissed. And unlike past presidents, unlike other typical politicians, he's reacting to it and he's picking a fight. We could argue the merits about that later, but this is him picking the fight. And you tell me if this sounds like, just put that clip from Wolf Blitzer in the back of your minds when you're thinking about what was said there about the president attacking the press, just like back in Nazi Germany, delegitimizing the press and all of that. Listen to what Trump actually said at the rally.
And tonight, this entire arena stands united in forceful condemnation of the thugs who perpetrate hatred and violence. But the very dishonest media, those people right up there with all the cameras.
And then the booing, okay, the booing goes on. This booing, listen to them. Crowd's pissed too. He's got them, right? So booing goes on for, I kid you not, I did the math, 57 seconds, which, in prime time, okay, I can't even play that for you. You turn me off. I can't even play that. So 57 seconds later, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, here's where it picks up.
So and I mean truly dishonest people.
This is the attack.
In the media and the fake media, they make up stories. They have no sources in many cases. They say a source says there is no such thing.
Ooh.
But they don't report the facts.
Ooh.
Just like they don't want to report that I spoke out forcefully against hatred, bigotry, and violence, and strongly condemned the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and the KKK.
So let me see if I understand this. In liberal land logic, you've got the Trumpster defending himself against a media who won't say that he spoke out against Nazis. They're in turn accusing him of being a Nazi because he's not. I mean, I'm lost in this. I'm totally lost. I don't even know what to say anymore. This is crazy land. You know, I've come to realize that Trump is despised most by the groups that felt that they should have been needed by him for him to have achieved his success. That's the big takeaway. I mean, look at the GOP. I'm convinced that the GOP, the grand old party, the Republican Party establishment, loathes Trump in a deep and seething way more than the Democratic Party does. Why? Because in their minds, he should have needed them. His candidacy, his success in the primaries, his success in the general election should have been owed to them. And instead, it was exactly the opposite, was it not? Trump's victories were in spite of tremendous opposition from within. But the biggest butthurt group of sore losers here are the media. Because these guys in the media, they think of themselves. I promise you this. The media thinks of itself as kingmakers. The media, these journalists think that they are the ones that pick and choose presidents, senators, congressmen, mayors, aldermen, and right down to dog catchers. I mean, this is, I don't know if you know a journalist, but I mean, because in their world, they look at something, they form an opinion, they've got their take on it, and they write a story, and that story is the final word. And for decades, that is exactly how it worked, because you had CNN, ABC, CBS, excuse me, ABC, CBS, NBC, thank you. And it wasn't until you had new media come along. You had the internet, you had and now social media and everything. Now there's this competition. And Trump is able to do an end run. He's able to circumvent it, and he's able to speak directly to the public. The media spent, 18 months telling us how unfit Trump was for office? Story after story, hit piece after hit piece, and he still won. Do you have any idea when you go into the, editor halls in various newspapers, editor lounges and cable news, CNN, MSNBC. Do you have any idea how absolutely perplexed, flabbergasted, and outraged they are that the American public, they all but said this, we are so stupid, the American public, if you voted for Trump, you are an idiot. How stupid could you be not to listen to all those smart people of all those editorial boards that all publicly denounced the Trumpster. And now they are seething. And he in that rally is picking a fight. But this isn't Nazi Germany. He's not telling his supporters, go beat them up with clubs or go kick them. Oh, let's play kick a journalist. Nothing. He's telling them, what does he say here? They got no sources. They don't report the facts. They don't want to report what I say. They're truly dishonest people. I mean, how is this? How does this at all in any way, shape, or form mirror what happened in Germany in the 30s? At some point, this begins to lose legitimacy, this argument. We also risk, let's be honest, I mean, this is the boy that cried wolf, right? Not John Wolf. Just Wolf. I mean, how many times do you scream Nazi? And then, gosh forbid, a real Nazi come along. What are we going to call him? Or her? I want to be equal opportunity here. All right. Interestingly enough, I was quite surprised that unlike Blitzy, who egged on this Garamendi cat, a fascinating thing happened. Morning Joe Scarborough actually had to shut a guest down who was going so far crazy on Trump. I'll play that next when we come back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, don't go anywhere.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
All right, more Sam Nation stuff up next. Sam maliciousness, maybe we could call it that. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I received a tip from a faithful source, called a law enforcement source, down in Orange County. We were speaking to Bentley yesterday, our listener who was at the rally. And he must have missed this because apparently there was a black Trump supporter who was leaving the rally on Sunday, and he was wearing a Trump shirt and a Trump hat, and got clobbered and hit over the head really badly. I guess he procured it. There's somebody had a video of it, and he was attacked because of what he was wearing. This is how legitimately crazy it is. Laguna Beach. Right? Safe behind the orange curtain. And some guy wearing a Trump shirt can't walk back to his car without getting attacked. And these are the people. Oh, by the way, these are the people. Okay? These Antifa guys. They're the ones that are fighting. What's Antifa mean? Anti-fascist. Right? That's where the word Antifa comes from. It was an Antifa guy. By the way, the video identified who it was and they found him. The cops are on it because it's Laguna. They're going to find you. So, but what are these Antifa guys fighting? You know what they're fighting? Well, fascism? Is that, can I presume that from the name? So these are the guys that are standing up there calling Trump a racist, fighting Trump's racism, and they're the ones that are beating a black guy who's supporting Trump. I mean, I don't know. How am I the one who's taking crazy pills? Don't know. You know who actually got a taste of some sanity? Surprisingly enough. None other than my favorite person, Joe Scarborough, on MSNBC Morning Joe. He had Donnie Deutsch on. And he asks Donnie something about Trump's performance with the media, right? And the attacks on the media that we've been delving into here so far this hour. And this is what Donnie says, but pay close attention to what Scarborough's response is.
I watched the speech the other night. We've been at this for 2 years now, and we all try as intellectuals to analyze and get our arms around it. And I happen to stumble across the symptoms, the definition of a sociopath. And I'm not at all, I'm not trying to make noise.
Wait, no, Donnie.
No, don't even go there. don't even go there. Which would have been a reasonable thing. Unlike Blitzer, who, you know, when he's got the guy, the congressman from California, the Democrat, talking on a show about Trump basically engaging in Nazi tactics when he's shouting down journalists. Saying, well, now I want you to elaborate on this. I want you to be precise. You know, when you suggest the words that the president is doing, what dictators try to do in stifling the news media, it's baiting him on. It's bad. This is, I think, how crazy. And in particular, I'll tell you, Trump later in the speech calls out CNN. He calls them out by name. And I think he's gotten under their skin. And if you want my take on this, my real honest to goodness opinion, Well, I'll give it to you. Don't worry. I'll give it to you. Just hang in there. I think Trump's poking them, and he's poking them on purpose so that they do this type of crazy nonsense. Okay. If you've got the media and they're trash talking you, what do you do? You can do what most Republicans do. Cave, cater, and try to make nice. It never works. Or you can roll over and play dead, like, you know, Bush did. Or, alternatively, you can do what Trump is doing, which is you just keep poking him. You just keep poking him. And eventually that snake or that whatever it is, whatever, insert whatever wild animal you want to put in there for the press, they get tired. And most importantly, everybody out there gets tired of the media calling him a Nazi and calling him this, calling him that. We're just, you know, anti-Trump fatigue is setting in. And it's brilliant. Guys, I think it's brilliant. And we'll go back and play this clip a couple years from now and watch this happen. It explains a lot of what is going on. All right. Don't go anywhere. We got more. We got first, there's John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222. And Sam at samnation.com. I mentioned yesterday that, it's back to school. I'm sure, I think maybe we're kind of late here to this party. I bet most of you have already had kids head back to school. If you don't have kids, let me tell you what back to school means. Sanity! No. My wife loves when the kids are home over the summer. She claims it's better for her. I like having a schedule. I like having a routine. Summer is absolutely not about routine in any way, shape, or form. The kids are up late, then they wake up late, So, it's back to school, and as part of back to school, I noticed this story. Brief detour from politics. Indulge me. There's some gal who is in high school. She's going, it's Beaumont High. And she's on Twitter. She's complaining that she wore a bodysuit. Do you know what this is when ladies wear these bodysuits? It basically looks like a one-piece bathing suit. And she's not wearing a bra. And she's complaining that the school wrote her up for a dress code violation. Now, the best part is the tweet itself has a misspelled word in it. So in the grand scheme of things, I think, you know, we ought to be worrying about how we can spell, you know, read, write, and arithmetic, all that good stuff. But I'm good for the school. You know, I'm telling you, I think the best, I don't know if kids have dress codes or what are the uniforms? I think uniforms would be great. I'm looking at this and I'm looking at what she's wearing and I'm going, yeah, attention seeking. Look at me like it's provocative. Schools should set standards for what kids wear. I want kids to come to school and to learn. I mean, gosh forbid, right? I don't want my kids going to, it's not a fashion show. It's paying attention. And I tell you, if you are a teacher and you teach in junior high or you teach in high school, anywhere, but especially once puberty hits these kids, these dummies, right? These little wannabe adults. You are my hero. You are my hero. If you teach kids how many kids do you have in your class? You have 30, 40, some cases 45 kids. And you not only have to, keep order in the classroom and teach them something, make them learn. Man, I respect you. Hands down, you have the Sam Nation, you know, order of merit. Make one up. We got to mint that coin and send it out to teachers that listen. It's true. So my son, I mentioned this yesterday, but he has my fourth grade teacher. He's now entering the fourth grade. And this poor woman has stuck with it. She had me. I think she had my sister, too. And now Daniel. It's for third Murjovsky. That I respect. So anyway, back to school time, back to the grind on everything. When I say that there's method to the madness of Trump, guess who agrees with me? Because I was talking about the media, how Trump keeps poking at the media. And conventional wisdom, mine included, a year ago was, oh, Trump, no. This was middle of the election. Trump was picking a fight with the media. And I go, you cannot win this fight. You cannot win this. This is bad. This is a bad idea. Well, lo and behold, you can't argue a success, right? So he continued to poke at the media throughout the campaign, won the election. Now he's poking at them again. And my point was, I think it's to get Trump hate fatigue. You keep poking the media, they keep complaining about you, they get their crazy eye and start foaming at the mouth, and pretty soon all you have them talking about are crazy wild assertions about you being a Nazi and a closeted Klan member. Closeted with a K. And there it is. But there's somebody who is a huge Trump critic who now actually agrees with this, not in the context of the media, but in the context of Congress. When we come back, let me tell you who that is. Very interesting. Very interesting. There might be a shift coming up. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, don't go anywhere.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790, 790,
790. K-A-B-C. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, what do you do if you get into a car accident? Well, one of the most important things that you need to do is to get some good advice, because most people that try to do these things on their own, all people, I'm convinced of this, try to do it on their own, make phone calls, chase the insurance company, nothing good comes of it. You end up with a huge problem and mess on your hands. Don't do it. Get the right advice from the get-go, and that advice should come from what? From a lawyer, right? A good attorney. No, a great attorney. So who do you call? None other than attorney Sweet James Bergner, the lawyer we trust here on the program to help you get justice. And look, maybe you already have an attorney. Maybe there's somebody that is working on your case. And they stink. What do? Get rid of him. No, better yet, first you call Sweet James. Have him help you. Have him take it over. Let him break up with the bad lawyer. He'll do it for you. You don't have to do any of that. Call him. Call Sweet James. Make sure you get good advice right from the get-go. Or for a loved one. Maybe, you know, your mom's dealing with something bad and you get call for her. Get some answers. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. One more time. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit James' website. It's sweetjames.com. All right. Who is agreeing with me about Trump? Let's have a look here. It is none other than Lindsey Graham. Now, this is Lindsey Graham, Mr. Amnesty himself, one of the 16 or so vanquished competitors for the presidency. You'll remember that he was, I think, what did he poll? About 0.5% in the beginning. Yeah, there's maybe 12 people somewhere in the South that wanted Lindsey Graham to be president. At any rate, him and Trump have gone at it. I mean, Graham is no big fan of his. But in talking about Trump's strategy, dealing with Congress, Graham made a great point. And he said, look, I think the president is taking this belligerent tone with Congress in part because he understands that Congress is less popular than he is. And I'm going to add something to that, that every good story needs a villain. And Trump does this. He sets up a villain, and he's doing this to the media right now, too. Remember all that booing? Remember first segment I played that clip, and I had to excise producer Robbie here had to rip out 57 seconds worth of the crowd just booing like crazy when he mentioned the mainstream media. setting up these villains, clever storytellers, and clever politicians especially, position narratives around a villain. Okay? You got to do it. And so Lindsey Graham's making a great point here. In dealing with Congress, their approval ratings are in the toilet. It's dismal. And Trump is playing against them, and he'll need it if he doesn't achieve certain of his campaign promises. He's going to need somebody to blame that on. So understand this. I'm fine. And this is where I am right now with all people that I love and that I talk to outside of the show. I am they know where I stand. But I tell them, I said, don't come at me with Trump is an insane, crazy person. That's just not going to work with me, okay? Tell me how you disagree with him. Tell me what you don't like about his policies. And we can have a debate there. But I'm going to be here telling you the man is not nearly anywhere close to this insane caricature that the media has put out there of him. I think this is all very targeted, very specific. And he's playing it. He's playing you. He's playing all of us who aren't paying attention to this. So he's winding up people in Congress. He's getting them to spout off. He's winding up the media who are frothing at the mouth like nutters. And all we need to do, just don't watch too much CNN. You might need a rabies shot. Okay. When we come back, I want to play for you a little bit of Hillary. You've got to hear her talking about Trump in her own words. So get your Xanax ready. Have a highball of a stiff drink. And don't go anywhere, because Sam Nation is coming right back.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Okay, so Hillary has got a book. You heard about this. She's written a book about the election. And incidentally, you know, this book, by the way, I mean, she's hard up for cash. The reason for writing the book is money. Maybe some degree of visibility and some relevancy, right? But it's really about money. And she's making some bucks off of this. But as part of doing a book, one of the things that they make you do now is they generally, part of the deal is you've got to record the book. So not only do you have to find a ghostwriter somewhere to write it for you if you're the Clintons, but then you also have to sit there and record other people's words, right? It's very awkward. It's actually so awkward that it sounds something like this. And now, okay, this is her complaining about Trump invading her space. Just listen to this.
It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me.
Stop. Do we have a violin? Bill, do you have a violin? Yeah, okay. Yeah, good.
It was
here.
The second presidential debate,
better.
And Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled. What would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, "Back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up."
Oh, my gosh. The music, I don't know. You guys need to add that music to the audiobook, because the music makes it. Okay, first of all, does she sound like, what is she on? She sounds miserable reading this book. Siri could have read this book better than she's reading it. This is legitimately awful. If I was listening to this audiobook in the car, I would go off the road. Now, of course, on a substantive note, I mentioned yesterday. If you look at the damn video of her standing there, Trump is – what Trump does is he holds his ground. He's standing on his side of the room at by his podium, and she's the one that horns in on his space. And by the way, everything with the Clintons, especially Hillary Clinton, everything is rehearsed. It's mechanically rehearsed when she prepped for these debates. One thing you can't say about Hillary is she doesn't put work in. She put in a lot of hours. It is rehearsed down to the detail. That move that she did was planned. I promise you that. She walked over into Trump's land, and the point was for him to do one of two things, stay put and then set up this type of thing, or for him to move away, which is a weak move, makes her more powerful. Well, Trump did what he did. He stood his ground. He just stood there. And so with the rest is history. At any rate, that's her reading the book. If you really must get the audiobook, I suggest that you come to the Sam Nation Studios here, and you have some of Bill's coffee, which is nuclear powered, and can wake the dead. What can I tell you? I don't know where this hour goes. It's so much fun. So we're out of time as per usual. Look, my only point about Trump, he's not nuts. You may disagree with him. You may not like him. You may think, I don't know. You may wish Barack Obama was still here, but Trump isn't crazy. He's just crazy smart. All right. That's the word. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back tomorrow at 7 p.m.
People. Talk. Radio. 790.
KABC.